strike. Cripple their missile forces so they can't hurt us too much. Then we wipe out North Korea. Defense stared at her. She was still smiling as if she were talking about rearranging the flowers on a banquet table. The fallout will drift over Japan, he muttered. The Secretary of State's smile did not diminish by a single millimeter. Regrettable, she said. But one of the ancillary benefits will be to remove both China and Japan as economic competitors. Defense realized what her smile reminded him of. A rattlesnake poised to strike. The Pentagon. Situation Room. Have they launched? General Shive shouted as he burst into the Situation Room. General Higgins, sitting at the head of the table, his chair turned so he faced the wall screen, shook his head. Not yet, Brad. Gesturing to the image on the screen, he went on, That's the latest imagery. Looks like they're in countdown mode. Shive saw that the missiles were standing on their pads, slight wisps of steam issuing from the rime-coated section where the liquid oxygen tanks were. Sliding into his own chair, he asked, How old's that picture?
10 minutes,
Higgins replied. We've got a low-altitude bird coming over their horizon in another 3 minutes. It should give us better resolution. Shive tapped at his laptop's keyboard. According to the tracking satellite in geosynchronous orbit, Able 1 had just made a turn north to parallel the Korean coastline. He squinted at the radar imagery. A pair of tiny dots was also over the Sea of Japan, behind the 747, heading toward it. Grabbing up the laptop's wire-thin headset, General Shive said into his lip mic, I need a real-time voice link with Able 1. A hesitation. Then a woman's voice in his earphone replied, Sir, we need authorization from... Without waiting for her to finish, Shive called down the table, Possum, I need authorization for a real-time voice link with Able 1. Anger flashed in General Higgins's face. He obviously did not like being called Possum. Without waiting for Higgins to open his mouth, Zuri Coggins leaned over Shive's shoulder and said crisply, Authorization code NAS-113-Alpha-Alpha-Omicron. Shive heard in his earphone,
Checking. Authorization verified. Establishing voice link.
Coggins heard Shive muttering, Come on, come on. Sitting in his chair at the head of the table, General Higgins suddenly realized why Brad Shive was in such a sweat to have a voice link with Able 1. He leaned over toward his aide, sitting at his left, and whispered, Who's piloting that plane?
Able 1, sir?
With a disgusted look, General Higgins replied, No, the Spirit of St. Louis. Looking flustered, the aide tapped at his keyboard, then answered, Lieutenant Colonel Karen Christopher, sir. I have her complete dossier. Higgins waved him to silence, thinking, Christopher, the one who clammed up at the Advocate General's hearing, the one who was accused of sleeping with a married general. One glance at the anxious, intense expression on Shive's handsome face, and Higgins knew who Christopher had shacked up with. Fighters coming up fast, O'Banion reported, his voice a notch higher than usual. Colonel Christopher had ordered her comm officer to activate Able 1's search radar. No sense trying to stay quiet now, she reasoned. They know we're here. Might as well get a good line on them. What's the word from Andrews on the missiles? She asked into her pin mic.
Launch is imminent as of 7 minutes ago.
Kaufman muttered from his co-pilot seat. Hope the bastards blow up on the pad. Christopher nodded. That would solve a lot of problems, she thought.